as I was like reading the word this week and thinking like, hey, God, what do you want me to share in Firehouse? He kept bringing me back to the question of love. And like, I keep like, when I get on social media and I watch TV and listen to music, I just keep hearing the word love used in so many different ways, especially today. It feels like now in this culture, like within the last couple years, that word just got like twisted and turned and moved in every single direction and redefined so many different ways. And so I felt like it was maybe like a good time for us to pause and just be like, what does the Bible say about the word love, right? It's not even Valentine's Day. We're just doing it because I feel like the Lord put it on my heart to talk about it tonight. And so I thought, like, man, out of all the different things that the world says love is, the Bible gives us some important commands about it. And like, we can't miss those commands. So Mark 12, verses 30 and 31 is kind of the biggie for me. Like, that's a huge place where God's like, here's what I want you to do. If you do what River did tonight, right? Like, if you believe in me and you're following me and you confess that Jesus is your Savior, here's what I'm asking you to do. And Jesus was like, I'm gonna take the whole Bible, and there's a lot of stuff in the Bible, right? But I'm gonna bring it all down into two things that I'm asking you to do. The entire Bible, all those books, right? Down to two things in two verses. And he says in verse 30, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second one is this: love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, there's no command greater than these. Just two things. And you start to think about it, and you're like, wow, how do you do that in just two things? Should I switch mics, or is this, keep going? Okay. As we think about it, like, you're like, man, it's just two things, but like, hold on a second. Don't go too quick, because listen to what he's really saying. Love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Jesus didn't leave anything out. Like, there's nothing else left to love him with. He's literally saying, I want you to love me with every fiber of your being. Every atom, every molecule, every thought, every desire, every ambition and goal, every success and failure, like everything in you, I want it all. The Bible says God's a jealous God. Like, he wants all of you. He's not like, hey, just give me a little piece of you and like, that'd be good. We could still be bros. He's like, no, listen, if you want to follow me, what I want you to do is just like this water, I want you to completely go in. And that water kind of represents the life of Jesus, and we're being submersed, completely submersed into Jesus. There's nothing left that when you come out, there's nothing dry, right? You're completely wet because God wants all of you, your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And that's how we're commanded to love God. So hold on a second, like that can be a big thing, right? Like, wait a minute, how do I do that? That's a command for me? Like, God expects me to do that? I don't even know how to start that. How do I even begin to love him with that type of love? It's so huge and unbelievable. And then he doesn't stop. He's like, here's a second one too. Like, the first one wasn't enough. Like, that's already a big one. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. Be willing to sacrifice whatever in your life for someone else. As if the first one wasn't hard enough, you're asking me to do that. And you might look at that and say, that's impossible. And you know what? You're right. It is. It's impossible for you and me to do that alone. And if we try to love people like that or love God like that in our own strength, it ends up looking like this empty religion that we're used to seeing that doesn't work. We're used to seeing these empty churches and just like these rituals that are done and ceremonies and these empty things because it's us trying to do a thing to try to make God happy and show him we love him. And he's like, that's not how you love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know how he says we do that? He says in 1 John 4:19, are you ready? We love because he first loved us. If you haven't recognized the love of God for you, you won't love God. And you definitely can't love God the way he's asking you to do with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself because you're not strong enough. We don't have it in us to do that. But if we recognize how God first loved us and it looked like Jesus with nails through his hands and feet, beaten beyond recognition, a crown of thorns shoved through his scalp, hanging, suffocating on a cross, bleeding out. That was love. That's the love he shows you, so that when you see that love, you can now respond the same way. But until you receive the love of Jesus, you can't do the very thing God's commanding you to do. You need his love in you to be able to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You need his love in you to be able to love your neighbor as yourself. So we haven't answered the question yet, even though we see how big this actual thing is. What is love? How do I do that? Our culture has so many opinions about what love is. And so luckily, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13. The entire chapter is awesome. I challenge you to read the whole thing. But we're just going to look at verses 1, 2, and 3 tonight. And he's going to kind of take apart this whole concept of love and help us understand and maybe redefine some things that our culture has lied to us about and figure out the truth. Now, listen, Paul had a similar like situation going on too. When he wrote this to the Corinthians, he wasn't just writing this really pretty like big poem. A lot of us think 1 Corinthians 15 is like the love chapter, and you read it at weddings and it's beautiful and it's poetic and it's all that. Really, when Paul wrote it, he was like, bam, like I'm throwing down right now. Like I am telling you something that you're not going to want to hear. These guys were messed up. They were defining love in the most perverse, disgusting, broken ways. And so Paul was actually kicking butt when he wrote this. He wasn't trying to write some poetry for them, even though it is beautiful and it is poetic and amazing. It was like really cutting through hearts that were hardened in the Corinthian church. And so I want us to kind of look at it from that angle tonight, rather than just hear some like pretty prose being spoken. Like, what if we hear what Paul's really trying to say, take it to heart and say, man, is that me? Is that word for me tonight? Have I bought into a lie maybe about what I think love is? Have I trusted social media that tells me it's all about sex and looking good and the fuzzy feelings in your belly and all those other things? These relationships and status, and that's not what love is. Paul tells us what it is about. I mean, he was talking to the Corinthian church that had division, like they were broken and separated and fighting in the church. They couldn't even go to church together, like mad at each other, and they're talking about love. They were fighting over gifts of the Spirit, like mine's better than yours, like I have this gift and you have that gift and I'm better than you. They're literally fighting over being more godly, like what? They were bragging about being spiritual. Like, they didn't even know how to love each other. So how did they think they were spiritual? But they're bragging about it. Paul writes this chapter not as this warm, fuzzy thing. It was this harsh reminder that they had gone astray and had misunderstood what true love actually is and what the Bible says. And so read with me. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 3, it says this. Once I start reading, you're going to recognize it. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clinging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I am nothing. As I look at that first chunk, right, like verse one, it's talking about tongues. And at first you might be like, why in the world is he like, what is speaking in tongues have to do anything with love, right? If I speak of the tongue of men and angels, like what even is an angelic tongue? And so you need to understand, like in Corinthians, like this was a church plant. This was something where God was showing up. His Holy Spirit was doing these miracles, these powerful things to basically tell people like, hey, I'm here. Like, this is my work. This isn't just a bunch of people getting together, have some coffee and read some like poetry. Like, this is a work, a powerful work of God who works miracles. And so he would give people these gifts. And one of those gifts was tongues, that they could evangelize each other by speaking in languages they didn't know. They could talk about how great God was. I could walk up to someone who only spoke Chinese and I only spoke English, and all of a sudden we talk and it's like, wait, I'm sharing the gospel with this person. They understand it and get saved. This was like an incredible thing that was happening. And so people took notice. They were like, wow, that's awesome. But some people started to think, man, this is a superpower. You know, like, dude, I can speak in tongues. And so they started to brag about it, and they started to think that they were better than everybody else, more spiritual. I must be closer to God because I have this gift, and you don't. Can you hear that? Can you hear anything wrong with that when I even say it? Because Jesus is saying, if you love me, you'll follow my commandments. And they're saying, I'm more spiritual because I have a better gift than you. I think they might be off base. I think they might be misunderstanding what Jesus is actually teaching, because there's no love in what they're saying. And that's exactly what Paul's saying. Like, you can speak with these tongues and have this incredible gift, but if you don't have love, you know what you are? You're Rob Jones playing these drums back here. Like, it just sounds like a mess. It is just noise. It is a clanging cymbal or a resounding gong. It just sounds like an absolute mess. It's not beautiful. It's not powerful. They don't hear the gospel preached with clarity. You know what they're hearing? Just noise. It's just noise coming out of your mouth as you brag, as you talk about your gifts being better than others, as you think more highly of yourself than other people. It's just noise when you think it's so beautiful. Listen, you know what that tells me? That oftentimes we're wrong. We think differently about ourselves than God, how God sees us. I'm thinking, man, I am like spiritual, right? I am close to Jesus. And he's like, whoa, you are so lost. How could you be this off base, Rob? You got like this gift, this spiritual thing going on, these like works that you're doing, but you know what? There's no love in your heart. So you don't know me. Because if you knew me, you'd know the love I showed when I went to that cross. That's how I started this love relationship. Literally sacrificing myself for you out of love. And you've forgotten that whole piece of love. You've defined it your own way, but you can't just define it however you want. Because God is a God of love. His nature dictates what love is, who he is, how he interacts with us. You might have the best ability to speak and make people laugh and tell jokes and stories. You might be the best singer out there. You could have all these gifts. But it doesn't matter what your gift is. If there's no love, Paul says, that it's absolutely pointless. You could be as talented as you want. Who cares if it's not being done out of love? When I was in high school, I wanted to be in the school band so bad. Like, I thought it was so awesome to be in, like, the marching band, and, like, I thought it was cool. So I went and I tried out, and I tried, like, every single instrument, and everything I played, my teacher was like, like, no, try another one, keep trying another one. Like, I couldn't do anything. And so finally it ended up, there was this huge drum, it's the bass drum, you know, and they strap it to you. It's, like, this massive thing, and it weighs, like, 1,000,000 pounds, and, like, you gotta, when it's marching band, like, you're carrying that thing everywhere, like you're pregnant, like you got a baby, in it, but it's a big baby, and you're trying to carry that thing around, and like, he's like, that one, he's like, that's for you. And I was like, all right, man, I finally found my instrument. I didn't care that it was pure torture. I was like, I'm doing this, and I'm gonna learn how to do this. And literally, he's like, you don't even have to know rhythms. All you have to do is just go boom, 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 like a little, like, you know what I mean? Like one of those toys. Like, and I was like, man, I can do that. No, I couldn't even do that, dude. I messed them up so many times. It was terrible. I was literally what Paul was talking about. I was that mess that so many of us sound like when we think we have this incredible gift, but we lack love. That's how we get churches that are full of a bunch of really grumpy people that you don't want to go to and sit in. You walk in and immediately you're like, man, I'm out of here. I can't handle this because these people don't understand what love is. They preach the word. Like, I hear it, and they have gifts, and their music is beautiful, and their building's awesome, and like the youth group is hype and the whole deal. But you know what? They don't love me. So why would I stay there? It's just noise. Without love, it's just noise. So here's my question for you about that. How do you use your gifts? God's gifted you. If you follow him and believe in him, you have natural gifts and spiritual gifts. What are they? How has God gifted you? What about like your talents that he's given you, your sports, music, grades, like ability to make people laugh, like all that stuff? Like, how are you using those things? See, a lot of times we use them to make ourselves look better. That's not love. Love is when you take those gifts and you use them to help other people, to lift other people up. And then he goes on. Listen, he says in verse 2, he says, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. So he goes from spiritual gifts and he goes into this, like, this ability to be able to understand the wisdom of God. Beyond gifting, what if you're just able to look into God's word and teach it and preach it and understand it in ways people couldn't even fathom? Like, God's gifted you with that. The Holy Spirit's opening your eyes to truth that other people have such a hard time seeing, and you're able to teach them, right? And this faith in you that could literally move a mountain. But you don't have love. Do you really even understand it at all then? As you read his word, if you don't hear about the love that he wants you to have in your heart for others and for him, then you're missing it. You don't really understand the truth of the word, is what Paul's saying. It's this incredible gift to know the Bible. Faith that can move mountains, right? But it's just religion if you don't have love. Listen, all the religion in the world, following all the rules, even having this huge faith, is worthless. It's worthless. Without love. And then he says in verse 3, if I give all I possess to the poor, surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, he says, I gain nothing. So he talks about the gifts. He talks about understanding the wisdom of God and having faith. And then he finally says this. He says, even if you literally sacrifice everything and give everything away, you gain nothing if you don't have love. You could literally go on to that cross just like Jesus did. You could be whipped. You could be tortured, beaten, and hung on the cross. But if you don't have love, it would accomplish nothing. His heart was full of love. A lot of times we think the power was in the pain that he suffered. The power was in the immense love that he bore on the cross as he looked down at us through tears of blood. And we think we can do it without love. We think we can be Christians and treat everyone like garbage. We think we can be mean to our friends and bully people and talk behind people's backs. Be big mouths and bossy and rude to everybody. And as long as I still go to church and do the church thing and have that as my identity, like, well, I'm good. No, you're not. You're an empty vessel. If your heart isn't full of love as you serve and surrender and give all that, you're wasting your time, Paul said. Man, there's so many posers. Act like Christians. They want people to think they're Christians. They talk about Jesus, and in the same breath, they're cussing somebody out or dropping swear words and talking about all sorts of worldly things. And it's literally in the same breath. And they don't see a problem with that. Paul does. Jesus does. He says you could do all those things, but if your heart isn't full of the love of God, it's pointless. It's worthless. So does this mean that all I have to do is just love? Like, all I need is love. I don't have to do anything. As long as I have love, I don't need to do anything. No, that's not what he's saying either. The truth is that, like, all these good deeds you want to do and live the greatest religion you can and make the most costly sacrifice, all that stuff, right? If it's not backed up by true love, it's for show and it's worthless. But if you really love and don't show it, is it really love? You see, they go hand in hand. Like, you need both of those things to be true for this to work. You guys know that I lived in Guatemala for a long time. And when I was working in the orphanage there, I had this group of little orphan dudes that I got to hang out with and share the Bible with and disciple. And there was this one kid in there who had probably the worst story of the group. And I won't even go into his story. It's a lot to share in a group like this. But basically, it'd be fair to say his parents did not love him. His parents didn't care if he lived or died. They actually preferred that he would die. And so he never understood love. I mean, he grew up without it. A few years old, you know, and as we had conversations and we would do Bible studies and talk about things, one night I remember we talked about love. It was probably a similar passage to what we're studying tonight. And after we were done and we all prayed and the kids went out to do their thing, he hung back and he came up to me and he said, you know, I don't have anyone to love me. And I remember he looked me right in the eyes and he's like, will you love me? Y'all, I can't even fathom having to ask that question. To not have a person in your life that you think loves you. That you have to go up to someone and literally ask them if they're willing to love you. It blew my mind. I mean, it broke my heart. Who wants to have to beg someone to love them, right? Like, what if we loved in a way where the people around us never had to ask that question? They knew they were loved by you. You don't have to be their best friend or their mommy or daddy. You just have to be a good friend that loves Jesus and loves them just like Christ commanded us to do. Love God and love others. What if you really loved others that way? Would your friends recognize it? Your teachers, your family, your youth pastor? What if we loved the way Jesus loved? Not the way the world keeps defining it, but we say, I'm going to love in a way that shows you that there's no conditions here. You don't have to try to please me or do stuff for me, or it's just because God told me to and I love him and he's died on a cross for me. That in itself is enough to fill me with love for you too. Because every day I wake up grateful he did that and I want to pay it back. Every day I want to show it to others and tell them what Jesus did. And I want to love you the way he loves you. What if we love like that? You see, that love doesn't run out. Every day when you wake up, it's still true. Every day when you wake up, he still died on the cross for you. He still rose from the dead for you. That love doesn't run dry. It doesn't go wrong. It doesn't abandon. That's the rest of 1 Corinthians 13, by the way, if you want to read it. What if we loved like that? John tells us, this is the last verse I'm going to share, but John says in John 15, 13, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Listen, I'm not saying tonight that you need to go die somewhere and sacrifice yourself as a martyr for somebody. But what Jesus and John is saying here is that if you really love, it's all of you. It might come to the point where you're like, man, I would lay my life down. But the idea here is that you would put others before yourself, before your own desires and before your own wants and all that stuff. You would say, like, I will sacrifice for other people the way Jesus has done for me on the cross. I'll show those people that I love them if they're in my life. Maybe it's just as simple as sending a few more texts so people know you're thinking about them, checking in on them, making sure they're cool, making them a phone call here or there just to be like, hey, I love you. I want to know you're good. Like, how can we love the people in our lives better so that they could never doubt that you love them? Every night when they go to bed, they're like, man, they love me. Like, I don't doubt it because you show it through your actions. And so I think what Paul's trying to boil this down to for us tonight is this. Action is nothing without love. And love is nothing without action. You need both. I remember when I was little, I got a new paintball gun, and my buddies, we loved paintball, mostly just to shoot each other and watch each other scream. And so we would go out and play paintball. I finally got this really nice gun. And I was so excited about my paintball gun that, like, I put it all together, put the air thing in it, the whole deal. And I was ready. I run out to the field. All my friends meet. We were meeting at a certain time. And we were getting ready to, like, throw down. And as we do, like, we start to play, and I come around this tree, and there's my buddy right there. I'm going to peg him. And he's looking at me like, oh, I'm done. And I go, and I pull the trigger, and it just goes click. And I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no, dude. Because once it goes click, like, six other friends are like, oh, they heard it too. And they're all like, ah, you know. And then all of a sudden, you're just getting lit up. I got so lit up. Man, I had, like, purple, like, bumps all over my entire body. I looked like I had malaria. Like, it was, but it was from paintballs hitting me. Like, they destroyed me. And I realized later that in my excitement, I had done everything except to put paintballs in my hopper, right? Like, in my, the little thing that holds your paintballs, if you don't know what paintball is, right? So here's the deal. We're running out into our lives and we're like, oh man, I'm good at loving people. I'm a nice person. People like me. And we think we've got love figured out. And it's like running out onto the field with no paintballs, right? Like, there's no power because there's not actual love in our hearts. We're just trying to do a thing. Or trying to run out there in love but not actually have the action to back it up. And either way, it's like this powerless, empty thing. Y'all, Paul tonight wants to encourage you. Tonight you would say, like, I've gone in the water. I've given my life to Jesus. I've risen with him and I follow him. As he commands you to love, would you recognize that love is powerless without action and action is powerless without love? Will you pray with me? Father God, we thank you tonight that we have your word right here. Your mind, your heart is written out for us. God, thank you that we don't have to depend on our culture to tell us what love is. The most important thing you've written in your Bible. You've told us what love is. You are love. And so God, as we approach that tonight, I pray you would just impress deep on our hearts more than just some message we heard at Firehouse. The God of creation told us how he wants us to live, how he wants us to love others. Would you couple our action and our love together and let it stem only from the fountain of love that comes from Jesus on that cross for what he's done for us? Father, make this church, this youth group known for loving others. God, I ask you that our community would say the word Firehouse and be like, holy cow, those people know how to love. I feel so loved by the people at First Baptist Church. I feel so loved by those Firehouse kids. God, not because it's something we're doing, but because we're depending on your love to be our strength. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.